So what will the international response be to the apparent chemical attack on Douma with the UN Security Council to meet tonight? One humanitarian group has documented more than 190 chemical attacks during the Syrian war. Only in six of those cases has it been possible to formally identify the culprit, experts say. Those occasions included the use of chlorine in the town of Sarman and several other towns in Idlib province in March 2015 and the use of sarin in Khan Shaykhun last year. They were all attributed to the Assad government. But the UN mechanism that did that work no longer exists because Russia repeatedly vetoed efforts to extend its mandate. Gregory Koblenz is a member of the Scientist Working Group on Chemical and Biological Security at the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation, and he's an associate professor at George Mason University. We spoke earlier.
Determining who conducted these attacks is always complicated, but the evidence we've seen so far points towards an aerial attack and therefore committed by the Syrian government, since they're the only party with aircraft and helicopters versus the rebels who don't have those kinds of assets.
And what are the chances that the regime would be held accountable for that attack?
Unfortunately, the odds of the regime being held accountable are pretty low. Last year, Russia vetoed a UN Security Council resolution that would have renewed the mandate for an international organization called the Joint Investigative Mechanism that is in charge of conducting investigations of these sorts of attacks and determining who's responsible, which is usually a prelude to holding them accountable. Without that international verification mechanism, it's going to be a lot harder for the international community to hold Syria to account.
That mechanism did attribute responsibility on a couple of occasions, didn't it?
Yes, it found Syria responsible for a series of chlorine barrel bomb attacks, as well as the use of sarin on Khan Shaykhun and on the town of Latamia last year. And it was, in fact, the fact that this body found Syria responsible that led Russia to kill the body, since Russia was doing that to protect their ally in the Assad regime.
So its own success was its downfall.
Unfortunately, that's the case. And there hasn't been able to develop a alternative because of Russia's veto in the Security Council. Makes it really hard to develop any kind of international mechanism.
The UN Security Council does still exist, and it is going to meet in the coming day to discuss the attack on Douma. What are its options, given that the Joint Investigative Mechanism doesn't exist?
There are several options, but I don't think any of them will be adopted because of Russia's veto power on the Security Council. There's no reason the Security Council couldn't recreate the Joint Investigative Mechanism to conduct another investigation into the attack. Security Council could impose sanctions on Syria for its violations of international law and the Chemical Weapons Convention. But again, all of these options are a moot point as long as Russia has a veto power and they're willing to shield their client in Syria from any kind of repercussions for their atrocious actions.
In January, France launched a new initiative which brings together about 25 countries called the Partnership Against Impunity. What are its goals and how effective could it be?
That initiative has two goals. One is to identify and punish perpetrators of past chemical attacks who have already been identified by national governments. And this is a way to try and better coordinate international efforts to sanction these individuals and prosecute them if possible and collect evidence of their crimes. The other goal of this group is to try and deter future attacks by creating a sense of fear among Syrian officials or military officers that if they conduct these attacks and they commit war crimes, they might be put on trial at some point, either within Syria or some kind of international tribunal. Unfortunately, that deterrent effect, we've seen quite possibly the failure of it this past weekend, because the odds of any of these Syrian officials being held accountable in this current political environment is just very low.
It's a very depressing scenario. What are the chances that the people who were attacked this past weekend in Douma, the people of Khan Shaykhun, what are the chances that any of those people will see justice, do you think?
I think in the long term, there are good prospects for justice, but it might take a long time. If you remember back to Iraq's use of chemical weapons against the Kurds in the late 1980s, it took about 20 years for those Iraqi officials, including Saddam Hussein and Chemical Ali, to be put on trial for their crimes. So there is precedent. It is definitely a possibility, but it will take a long time. It will be a matter of the international community and individual countries adopting the mantra that they will, you know, never forget and never forgive.
And given that there have been so many atrocities committed by so many different parties in a very complex conflict in Syria, why focus on the chemical attacks, which are, in terms of numbers, by no means responsible for the majority of deaths and outrages?
Yeah, that's very true. The chemical weapons get a special place in the crimes committed by the Assad regime for two reasons. One is these are weapons that have been banned under international law that virtually every country in the world has signed on to, including Syria. And so the use of these weapons is viewed as not just immoral, but also illegal. And this is a commitment that Syria is violating on a regular basis. The second part of it is that these weapons are potentially incredibly destructive. The attack on Ghouta killed over 1,000 people in just the space of an hour or two. The attack on Khan Shaykhun killed over 100 people with just one chemical weapon. So these weapons pose very high risk to civilian populations that are unprotected. And because of their indiscriminate, large-scale effects, they really do pose a major risk, even though thankfully they've not imposed those costs too often. When they do, you just understand just how horrific and how devastating these weapons can be and why they need to be banned, and those who use them need to be persecuted and prosecuted for their actions.
Gregory Koblenz, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Gregory Koblenz is a member of the Scientist Working Group on Chemical and Biological Security at the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation. He's also an associate professor at George Mason University.